some clarity on what to do with that 2009 Volkswagen Albatross parked in the garage. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. A federal judge has just approved the nearly $15 billion settlement for its rigged diesel cars covering affected VWs and Audis from model year 2009 through 2015. That means the buybacks or repairs can begin. Marketplace's Annie Baxter joins me now. Annie, what are Volkswagen Audi owners supposed to do now?
So owners of eligible vehicles have to submit a claim on paper or online or by calling a hotline, and they basically have the choice to either sell their car back to Volkswagen at the pre-scandal trade-in value of the vehicle or terminate their lease without a penalty, or they could hold on to their car and wait for an emissions modification if and when it becomes available. So that's kind of a more nebulous option since there is no government-approved fix as of yet, though VW is working on it. Vehicle owners have a couple years until September 2018 to decide what to do. And whatever option they choose, they also stand to get additional cash compensation of about $5,000 to $10,000.
And how quickly can owners get resolution?
Well, that remains to be seen. VW owners have to get their claim approved first before they can schedule appointments with settlement specialists at dealerships. VW says it will begin buybacks in mid-November and has hired 900 people to help handle the process. But there are probably a lot of customers seeking buybacks, David, so it's unclear how fast they'll move through the line.
In early trading this morning, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down nearly 100 points, about 0.5%. Apple stock in early trading was down more than 4% after its profits late yesterday looked disappointing, including the first full-year loss for Apple's revenue and profits this millennium. Is profit disappointment driving this mood on Wall Street today? Let's check in with Susan Schmidt, Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings in Dallas. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can we blame the profits reports, the quarterly earnings here?
Profits in the earnings reports have been okay. There's been some misses along the way, but largely they're coming in line with expectations. The huge, strong results, we just haven't seen those coming through. It's not bolstering the market with confidence.
Help us with the backdrop.
Well, we need something to really jolt investors back into thinking about companies because the backdrop is tough right now. You've got the election in full force, so there's a lot of rhetoric in the background going on about that. We've also got some news on oil. So again, remember that OPEC meeting doesn't happen until November 30th, but Russia came out and said they're not going to agree to a production supply cut. Maybe they would agree to a freeze. There's other talk of other countries not agreeing to a production supply cut. So that comes back into the news again, also creating some uncertainty.
In fact, crude oil traded in New York down more than 2% as we speak. Susan Schmidt at Westwood Holdings in Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you.
We've been covering trouble in the land of Obamacare, with premiums for some plans going up on average 15% for those not eligible for the federal subsidy. But some changes under the health care law are showing promise. Today, a report on physicians in what are called accountable care organizations, where doctors are responsible for the health of their patients and the cost of the care. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Dan Gorenstein reports.
It's 4:30 on a Friday at the Family Health Associates practice in Charleston, West Virginia. Patients are all gone, but Dr. Julie DeTemple and her staff are still at it.
I should be home, and I'm here, you know, typing away, doing my notes, doing my charting.
She's had to adjust from examining patients, why she got into the business, to examining data. That's really picked up now that she's also part of the Aledade West Virginia ACO, made up of 11 physician practices. They're constantly in meetings looking for ways to improve care and cut out wasteful spending. This summer, DeTemple's lab costs were flagged.
My lab costs were flagged as high, and I thought, well, that's crazy because I don't feel like I order an inappropriate number of labs.
She's right. She wasn't. It was a nephrologist in town, a kidney disease specialist she'd been referring patients to forever. He was ordering lots of lab work and duplicating tests she'd already ordered. So DeTemple did something she'd never had to do in her 15-year career. She issued an ultimatum.
I was like, look, you know, we can either fix this or I'll have to send people to a different nephrologist.
She told him what he's been doing wouldn't fly anymore.
In the future, I'm going to get paid based on how well I take care of the patient and based on how much money I save. So if somebody else is spending money out of my patient's pot unnecessarily, I'm not going to get paid.
I was surprised. I'm glad she informed me right away.
Dr. Julian Espiritu said in the days before there was this ACO, it was a you do what's good for you, I do what's good for me kind of approach. But he recognizes those days are over.
Now, we have one pot, and we have to respect that pot. Somebody who uses too many cookies or eats too much cookies is going to be unwelcome.
Espiritu has put his money where his mouth is, really. He's cut way back on all the tests, at least for the patients enrolled in the ACO, and his billing has dropped more than 50%. This is kind of how people dreamed ACOs would work. Primary care docs like DeTemple shopping around for specialists to find good value.
That's what we're doing, looking to see who can deliver quality care while giving the best cost.
ACOs have yet to deliver on the kinds of efficiencies that supporters have predicted for years. But DeTemple's experience shows when you give primary care doctors an incentive, they're at least in position to trip over waste and crack down. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And an update on Wells Fargo, which lost its CEO in the scandal of bank employees pressured by sales goals who opened fraudulent accounts for customers. More than 5,000 bank employees were let go after the fraud came to light. Now the incoming Wells Fargo boss, Tim Sloan, says some former employees who were fired for not meeting those sales goals could get their jobs back. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.